pour your spirit out here. Father, we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Everyone said,
Amen. Well, once again, I'm returning to our theme about accepting God's call so that we can walk in our destiny and fulfill our purpose. So far, what we've seen is that God, thank you, has called or chosen us. And we saw that in 1 Peter 1:1-2, and it tells us that we have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ. Jude 1:1 also tells us that we have been called. It's speaking to those who have been called, which is us. Jeremiah 1:5, God tells us, before you were born, I set you apart. Acts 17:26 tells us that God has already determined when and where we're going to live. And Ephesians 2:10, he tells us that he has already prepared certain works for us to do. He's already prepared that in advance, the opportunity to do those works. God, in his infinite wisdom and with his foreknowledge, already knew that we would be his. He already knew that you were going to be sitting here today. And so he's able to prepare and to plan and to set things up because he knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning. And so when God created us, he created us with a purpose. He created us with a destiny. And each one of us has this purpose in our life, a purpose for our life, and a part in God's great plan for all of mankind, all of creation. And of course, we still have to choose. We choose to accept this call that we've been talking about. Just like when the phone rings, we have the option of picking it up or not. And so we choose to accept this call. And that's what we've been talking about, accepting the call. Accepting the call of God in our life. Once we've answered that call, then God will begin to reveal his plans. Just like if we pick up the phone, hello and hi, this is Rachel from Card Member Services. There's no problem with your credit card right now, but I want to talk. Do you ever get that call? I've gotten that about 5,000 times. I wish there was a purpose in that. But there's not, unfortunately, unless they want to sell me something. But when God has called us, he has a purpose. He has a plan. He has things, you know, already worked out for us to do. He has opportunities that are going to be opening up as we move down the path, you know, as we go forward. Once we've answered that call, then, you know, God can begin to work through us, and he can accomplish then his will in us that he planned all along. And the emphasis there is on that he will work. He will work through us. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." See, God has a purpose for your life, and it's a good purpose. Over the past 2 weeks, we've looked at how the Holy Spirit plays an absolutely essential role in helping us run the race that God has marked out for us. You know, when you go downtown sometimes, I don't think they're still doing it in Detroit anymore, but for a while they were running a Grand Prix, or if you've ever run a marathon, everything's marked out. You know, you follow this path, there's all kinds of markers, there's tape on the sides of the road, there's usually lines of people in a lot of places. It's very easy to tell the race. Well, God has marked out a race for us in our life. And when we get that call, God wants to call. He wants to begin to reveal that path, the race that is marked out for us. And, of course, we saw that the Holy Spirit helps us to do that. But today what I want to do is I want to look at something else that God has for us that we desperately need. But before we go there, there's a few things I want to look at very shortly, very briefly, just some of the attributes of God, some of the things that God has done that would reveal this attribute of God that that we want to talk about today. So I want you to think about these examples. I'm just going to say a few things very briefly. And I want you to think about what is common in all these things that I just mentioned here. Seas and rivers split apart. Creation. Floods covering the earth. Fire and brimstone destroying cities. Armies destroyed. Lions' mouths kept shut. Wind and waves stopped, silenced. The earth swallowing up a rebellious people. Languages confused. People raised from the dead. Casting out demons. All those things, and many, many, many more. All those things happen, and they display something. What would you say would be a common trait in all those things? Somebody said it. What did you just say? Power. That's it. That's it. Exactly the word I was looking for. The power of God. The power of God. Over and over and over, we see God's awesome power revealed. His infinite power over people, over situations, over the elements, over demons, over all. Absolutely nothing. Nothing can withstand the power of God. If God wanted to, He could literally split this earth in two, spread it out amongst the universe, shatter it. He could do whatever He wants. He's so powerful. And you know what? God wants us to discover that power, that strength, His strength, right here inside of us. The ultimate power of the universe. He puts it right in here, right in us. Ephesians 1:18, Paul's speaking and he says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you. There it is, that calling again. The riches of His glorious inheritance for the saints and His incomparably, you can't compare it to anything else, His incomparably great power for, it's not up there, huh? For us who believe. His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms. This incomparably great power is for those who believe. That means it's for you. That means it's for me. If we believe, if we're believers, we've given our heart to God, God's saying that then He wants to give us this incomparably great power. That mighty strength that was exerted. What does that mean, exerted? It means that the strength that was used, the strength that was implemented, that He used when He raised Christ from the dead. Now He wants to put that same power inside of us. Okay, so we need to stop here for a minute because this is where the devil likes to throw negative thoughts into our mind. Arguments designed to weaken us, to defeat us. On the one hand, God tells us, as we just saw, that we can walk in this amazing power. And yet we think that we're doing good when we resurrect ourselves out of bed in the morning. Could we possibly have set our sights too low? Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more, there it is again, immeasurably more, than all we ask or imagine according to His power that is at work within us. There's that power again. A power that is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. We set our sights too low. Bob just said that up here just a minute ago. We set our sights too low. We limit God. I can't do that. I don't have the willpower. I don't have the strength. I don't have the ability. I don't have the wisdom. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have the time in. I don't have the, you know, the build. I don't have the character. I don't have the whatever. God says, so what? He's got it. He's got all the power that we need. God wants to do things through us that we've never even imagined. So how could we have prepared for it? We can't. We can't always be prepared. God says He wants to do things that we've never even asked for or imagined. And He's going to put that kind of power in us. So His plan, though, is to give us all the power we need at that time to be able to do it. God's strength is available to us whether we see it in our lives or not. Maybe we haven't seen it. Maybe we think that we've been weak. Maybe we feel sometimes even worse than that. Maybe we feel like a failure, like, man, I just can't make it. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe it's I. Maybe it's that I in there. I can't do it. I don't have the strength. I don't have, you know what? We don't. We don't. And that's what I'm talking about today. That the title of my message, in fact, is Accepting the Call, God Provides the Strength. God provides the strength. He's our provider. God will give us whatever we need to do the job He has called us to do. And that strength is there. Whether we recognize it, whether we receive it, whether we accept it, the strength is there. It's available to us. He has the sun shining. And if we go hide in the basement, we're not going to get any of the rays. We're not going to get the heat. We're not going to get the energy. We're not going to get the vitamin D3 from the sun. It doesn't mean that He didn't provide it. We just didn't get it. His strength is there. We have to tap into that strength. Oftentimes, the problem's in our mind. It's the way that we think. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and self-discipline." But He gave us a spirit of power. What I want to do today is look at some of the ways we can get hold of this power that God has promised us so that we can answer that call of God upon our life. Number one is pretty obvious, and that is for us to know and understand the strength of God. Because God wants to share that strength with us. But we have to get hold of it first. We have to know that it's there. We have to believe it. We need to know that we serve a big, big, big God. He's got a big, big house with a big, big backyard. You know, if you ever heard that song. But He is bigger than all of our troubles. He's bigger than all of our enemies. He's bigger than all of our I can'ts and I doubt it and I fear and all those kind of things. Whether it's outside forces or whether it's inner battles, inner struggles, God's power can handle it all. We got to think about it. I mean, we are His body. Now think about this. Do you like it when your body is weak or broken or down and you can't function the way you're supposed to? Thursday afternoon, Alex, did you enjoy the way your body felt that day? No way. You know, when we get sick, when we get, you know, we get really old, when we get hurting, I mean, there's things that happen to our bodies. And we don't like it when we can't function Well, the way we're supposed to. And you know what? God doesn't like it either when his body is sick, when his body is hurting, when his body is not functioning the way it's supposed to, and we are his body. When I was in high school, I was on track. I was a distance runner, and I had to train to do that. I ran all the time. When I hired into the fire department, I had to train my body to be able to pass all these certain physical tests that I had to do to get hired on. Well, we saw earlier in Ephesians 2:10 that we are God's workmanship in Christ Jesus, and God wants to strengthen us so that we can accomplish those good works. You know, we're his workmanship, created to do good works. He made us in the very beginning to do certain good works that were prepared in advance for us to do. And just like I had to prepare for this particular test, so I had to do some particular kind of conditioning to make my body able to handle that. In fact, I was carrying my wife as I was walking across a ladder, and she didn't really like it too much, but remember that when I had to... Yeah, she remembers. It wasn't too much fun for her, but I wanted to try actually doing it because that's what we had to do. Sometimes our poor wives have to put up with some silly stuff, huh? But that's what we have to do. We have to train ourselves so that we can fulfill this purpose that God made us for. So we have to recognize this strength that God has for us and bring it in. That's part of this training. Getting the strength, conditioning ourselves by getting God's strength in us. So that's the next number one, is understand and recognize God's strength so we can take it in. Next thing we have to do is realize our weaknesses. I remember a few years back, I experienced the worst pain I ever had in my life. I had these kidney stones, and man, they hurt. And anybody here that's had kidney or gallbladder, any of those kind of things, you know how that hurts. And I couldn't drive. I couldn't even hardly sit up in my seat. And so we were at this function, and you know, Carol was driving me to the hospital, and all I could do was just enough to tell her to run the red lights. I don't care. I'll deal with it later. Just get me to the hospital. I need something to take care of this pain. And I knew I had a need. It was very obvious to me. I had a need. So I had a weakness there. But the truth is we all have needs. And we have needs in all areas of our lives. And unfortunately, most of them aren't as obvious as those kidney stones. And so we think to ourselves, I can handle this. I can take care of this myself. Unfortunately, many of those times, those are the exact areas that we need to be able to turn to God and ask for his help, his strength. And we try doing it ourselves. Pride, self-conceit, self-confidence gets in the way of God being able to help us. Because we think we got it down. We know how. We can do it. I don't need anybody's help. A lot of people are able to help others, but they don't like to receive help. Because it's humbling. It's humbling. And, you know, we need to be able to receive help, not only from others, but especially from God. You know what's funny? The very areas that we consider ourselves strong, those areas where we find ourselves, we think of ourselves as strong and capable, are usually the areas that we are actually the weakest in, because that is where we don't let God in. We think that's our prime area. That's our greatest strength. And so, you know, we sort of, you know, that kind of thing. And We think, wow, everything's, I can handle this. I can do this. This I got down. And God's saying, that's what you think. Let me in so I can help you. And then we don't give in. We just keep trying to do it on our own. And he keeps trying to tell us. And we don't let him in. And he keeps trying to tell us. And eventually he's going to have to knock us down. Until we finally let him in those areas that we got all together. Up here, we think. When we recognize our weakness and go to God for help, then that is where God is able to provide strength. Those weaknesses are like, those are like the openings where God can get in. Those are the areas where God can really shine and really help us in our life. When we try to build in our own strength apart from God, you know what? We're just wasting our time. Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds a house, its builders labor in vain. We labor in vain a lot about a lot of things, and especially about our own life, when we work to make ourselves better, but we don't allow God in to help us. The only way we can walk in this strength is to be humbled and broken and dependent on Jesus. That's where, when we get to that point, when we are finally humbled and broken and we say, God, I need you, that's when things begin to turn around. That's when things start to get better. We're so afraid that's going to be like the end, and in reality, it's the beginning. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul had been praying to be released from some thorn in his flesh, some affliction that he had. It says that he pleaded with the Lord on three separate occasions. He kept praying, God, please take this away. Deal with this thing. And this is how God answered him in 2 Corinthians 12:9. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, this is Paul speaking now, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Paul understood that our weaknesses make us strong because that's where we go to the Lord for help and that's where we receive his strength. Now, of course, in the next area, I could never get through a message without mentioning the Holy Spirit. I know we just spent 2 weeks on the Holy Spirit, so I'm not going to belabor the point. I'm not going to speak a lot about the Holy Spirit, but I just need to mention just a couple brief things. And one is what Jesus said to the apostles in Acts 1:8. Remember, he told them to go to Jerusalem and to wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit that the Father had promised. And this is what he said. Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will receive power. You see, God is always trying to give us power. He's always trying to find a way to bring that strength, to give us his strength. We just need to remember that the Holy Spirit is the conduit. The Holy Spirit is the one, when God's going to give us power, it's going to come somehow through some working of the Holy Spirit. Another way of getting hold of God's power is to learn how to trust him. Knowing that in every situation, God will always be for us. Always. He will never leave us and he will never forsake us. In Philippians 4:12, it says, I know what it is to be in need. This is Paul speaking. And I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. what Paul is saying is that he's not going to worry. He's sick of worrying. He's not going to worry anymore. Whatever happens, whatever goes on, whatever disaster arises or befalls him, he says, I will make it. I'll get through it. I already know. He's saying, I already know it. I'm going to get through it because I have put my trust in the Lord. And God will give me the strength I need to do whatever I have to do. He'll give me the strength to do whatever I have to do. And it'll be okay. You know, we worry so much about the future. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if this doesn't turn out this way or that way? Or how am I going to deal with this? Or what's going to go on there? And God says, don't worry about those things. Just trust in me and be assured that when that day comes, I'll be there for you. That's all he wants us to do. And by having that type of faith, that trust in God, that strengthens us. It gives us the strength to get through every day. When we learn to leave things in God's hands and really let those worries go, we are strengthened. Psalm 125 says, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. That's pretty cool. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. You put enough trust in God, he says, you're a mountain. Who's going to go push a mountain? We can't do anything to a mountain. It's not going to be shaken. It says it will endure forever. We have to put our troubles in perspective. Most of them really aren't that earth-shaking. And yet we worry our heads off over them. And usually they're really nothing. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. God's telling us our troubles are just light and momentary in light of eternity. And they really are. At the moment, they sometimes seem so overwhelming. God says, just trust in me. Just trust me. It's going to be okay. I'm going to work this out. I mean, you think back 1 year ago from today. Today is January 27th. What were you worrying about on January 27th last year or 5 years ago? You can't remember. And I'll guarantee you, on those days and 10 years ago and 15, you were worried about things. You had problems. You had things going on in your life. And somehow, here you are. You're still alive. Things are going relatively well. Yeah, you've got some new problems now that a year from now you won't remember. It's like every day has problems of its own. We just don't get to live without problems. They're part of life. And so God says, yeah, I know you got problems. But trust in me. Once we learn to trust the Lord with all of our heart, and not just a little sliver of it, then Romans 8:28 becomes real to us. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. There it is, the call again. Those who have been called. That's what we're talking about, accepting the call. Another area where God will pour out his strength is when we walk in obedience. Deuteronomy 11:8 says, observe therefore all the commands I am giving you today, so that you may have the strength to go in and take over the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. Obey the commands so you may have the strength. They're tied right in there together. Obedience to God gives strength. God wants us to take possession of the land, of many things. Things for the kingdom of God, things inside of us. He wants us to control, you know, like self-control. That's one of the, you know, fruits of the Spirit. It's one of the things that, you know, that we're supposed to be doing is learning how to control this flesh. God wants us to take control, take authority over all those instances and those opportunities that He gives us, and also over our carnal nature. But it's only going to happen when we're walking in obedience to His Word. Why should God give us the strength to walk in disobedience? Think about that. That would be like selling weapons to our enemies so He can shoot us or blow us up. That'd be ridiculous. So why would God give strength to us if we're rejecting His Word, if we're walking in disobedience? Instead, He'll knock us down to get us to turn back around and get on the right path again. Because He loves us. A father disciplines those he loves. God disciplines us for our own good, it says in the Word. Whenever I see people begin to reject God's will, rejecting His laws, rejecting Him, it's just a matter of time before you begin to see their lives falling apart. It's sad, because I've seen it a lot of times. We're just heading down a path then that can only lead to destruction. And hopefully, you know, there'll be a point there where we'll be broken, and then we'll be humbled, and then we can turn back around and start the building process and have a good foundation. God is looking for a people who are committed to Him, committed to obey Him, committed to Him and to His Word. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." What a great scripture. 2 Chronicles 16:9. "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." That is a great scripture. When you're committed to God, God's looking for you to give you strength. We need to regularly examine ourselves to make sure that we are committed to God, that we're following His Word. We need to put our hope in the Lord. That's another thing. We need to have hope for the future, because that hope will energize us. It will strengthen us. Hope has a way of lifting us up and, you know, taking away the burdens. Hope has a way of building us and strengthening us. According to Hebrews 6:19, it says that hope is an anchor for our soul. And there's a famous scripture that we've all heard. It's in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 through 31, and it says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength." They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. One last point. Joy. Having a joyful spirit. Letting the joy of the Lord be a part of our lives. Nehemiah 8:10 tells us that the joy of the Lord is your strength. James 1:2 tells us, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. Jesus was able to endure the joy of the cross, the shame, the scorn of the cross, because of the joy that was set before him. He was able to endure that, the cross, because there was a joy inside of him that he saw. He saw us. He saw you here today. People who have accepted his call, people who have come into his family, into his kingdom, people that will not have to suffer in eternity, but instead will be blessed for all eternity. And because of that joy, seeing the good things that were to come, he was able to endure the shame of the cross. In John 16:33, Jesus told us, in this world we will have troubles. And you know he was right. We already talked about that a little bit. But what he said was, be of good cheer, or take heart, because I have overcome the world. He knows that on the other side of those trials, on the other side of that cross, on the other side of all the troubles that we face and all the problems that we face, he knows that on the other side, man, there is joy everlasting. There is going to be something special for us that, once again, that we could never even ask or imagine. Something so amazing that God has prepared for us that we can't fathom it, we can't understand it. We know it's going to be good, but we don't know how good until we get there. Jesus understands our fears, our pains, our discouragements, our weaknesses, because he went through a lot of that. He was human, just like us. It says that he suffered just like we did. He was tempted just like we were. He didn't give in, but he was tempted. He knows everything that we've gone through. He's felt it. But he's big enough, he's strong enough, he's willing enough, and he has more than enough power, more than enough strength to help us with every single problem that we face. Anything our enemy can throw at us, God is strong enough to overcome it. Any weakness that we have inside of us, God is strong enough to overcome it. Every problem we face, God is strong enough to overcome it. Jesus said that he will never leave us or forsake us. He will be there to walk through us, walk with us through every trial. All the time, always, never leave us. We need to quit trusting in ourselves and trust God in us, the hope of our glory. Last scriptures, two of them. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. In Ephesians 1:19, I've already read both of these, his incomparably great power for us who believe. I like putting those two together. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, his incomparably great power for us who believe. That's the power that's in us. It's ours. It's not a question of will God. God has already made it available. It's a question of will we accept that power? Will we take that power? Will we make use of that power? Will we allow God to exert or use his power inside of us? That's what he wants to do. Every day, all the time, he wants to be there with us always. given us the power to face every situation. It's just it's up to us. It's our choice. So let's close in prayer. If I could have the prayer team come forward. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we do thank you. We thank you so much. We thank you that you have made your power available to us. That you desire to empower us. That you've poured out your power, in fact, on us through your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that we, as your servants, as your children, that we would open ourselves up, that we would open our eyes and our ears and our heart, our mind, that we would open ourselves up to you to receive this power from you so that we can successfully, faithfully walk in this calling that you have given us, that we can answer this call that you've put upon our life, and that we can be successful in doing what you've called us to do. Lord, I know that we don't have to do what everybody else does. Each one of us has a different call. We just have to do what you have called us to do. We thank you for that, Lord God. You've created us, each one of us, individually, uniquely. You've called us, you've chosen us, you've created us, you've developed us, you've trained us, you've taught us, you've brought us through dangers and trials, and you've brought us through problems, you've brought us through good times and bad times. And now you have us right here today, right where we are right now. And Lord, right at this time, I pray that we would open up our hearts and our minds to receive your help, your power, your strength. Lord, as your eyes are ranging throughout the earth, Lord, let them stop. Right here, right now. And look at us. And see us as people who are trusting in you, who are hoping in you, that you would fill us with your power, that we might be victorious, that we might be the kind of servants, the kind of people, the kind of children that you've been looking for. Lord, we want to be a blessing to you. We want to honor you with our lives. We want to be changed from glory to glory, increasingly looking like the image of your Son, Jesus, becoming more and more like him, always. God, help us. We ask you right now to fill us with your power. Fill us, Lord, with your power. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Pour out your power here today. Pour out your power upon us, Lord God. Your power to live every day. Your power to live for you, to be obedient to you, to trust in you. Pour out your power, Lord God, upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father.